have two passages of Scripture this morning. This is Mother's Day. If you have a mother, you're very fortunate. A living mother. I lost my mother when I was a young boy. Just two of us, Jack and Bob. My brother, I never considered him a crybaby, but when my mother died, you couldn't stop that boy from crying. My dad even told me, "See if you can stop Jack from crying." We loved our mother. We weren't very close to my dad, but Mama was something special to us. Poor during the Depression years. I kind of think she was just about all we thought we had, Mama. And we loved her. I still love her. Remember Mother's Day with that bright red rose pinned to a shirt or a tie or something? We were proud to think about our mother. Sometimes fellows don't like to think about it too much, but, you know, if you look in the book of Proverbs, chapter 1 and chapter 8, you'll discover that women actually are pictured as being wisdom personified. And when you think about it, and I was thinking about it just this morning, we've been told in many quarters that there's no difference between men and women. They haven't been associated with the women I've been associated with. There's a big difference between a man and a woman. And women do have an insight into things in life that men, somehow or another, they just never see it. They never get it. So I think when Solomon was thinking about women, they did have a special wisdom. And Lord knows he ought to know something about women. He had a lot of them. Wives and concubines. But this is not a holy day, but it's a holiday. A special day. It's the Lord's Day. The Lord's Day is a special day. We've already done something very special here today. We have remembered our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We gathered in this place as a company of believers, those that have trusted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And on that table, there was a loaf of bread, and there was the fruit of the vine and the cup. And we remembered our Lord Jesus Christ in that He loved us and He died for us. He paid the penalty for our sin. And all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There are no exceptions. I'll have something to say about that in just a moment. Special day. Something very special to the heart of those that know the Lord Jesus Christ. Hearts occupied with someone that loved them so much that he was willing to take our place and die under the penalty of our sin. And that's what he did upon the cross. Not his sin. He had no sin. The one that had no sin was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Those that know Him as Lord and Savior can say, and they're not bragging, it's all according to Scripture, I am righteous in the sight of God. I will never, never be frightened at the thought of being in the presence of a holy, righteous God. Why? Because I have trusted His only begotten Son as my Lord and Savior. That's a tribute to Him, our Lord Jesus Christ. He's a wonderful Savior. I'd like for us to read first in Philippians chapter 2, just a few verses. This particular passage, under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, the Apostle Paul has given to us some thoughts concerning the desires of the heart of God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. You see, God would have every one of us as believers to be like Christ. That's the desire of the heart of God. That we as believers in the Son of God would be like His only begotten Son. Starts with the mind. Reading in verse 5, the Apostle Paul says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." I can say this because I've read the epistle. But there were two ladies that Paul was identified with, and they had been co-laborers with him in the spread of the gospel. They worked together, they were faithful, they were loyal in every way, but something happened. We don't know what it was, we're not told. They had a falling out. They were no longer happy servants together, but something happened that drove a wedge between them, and they were no longer in happy fellowship with each other. Paul wanted to see that resolved. It could be resolved if they had the mind of Christ, if their actions were controlled by the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ. It wouldn't be any problem. They would esteem other better than self. I'm telling you, if this old world we live in today would do what God would have us to do, it'd be a happier place to live in. If you think about it, esteeming the other person better than yourself. Most people don't do that. Most people are striving to elevate themselves above everyone else. I'm more important than they are. And do a lot of things to try to prove that. The Lord Jesus Christ took a lowly step. We know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, He became poor, that we, through His poverty, might be made rich. Our lives would be enriched through faith in Him. And the Apostle Paul, thinking about these two sisters, could say, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus," who being in the form of God. Remember, the Lord Jesus Christ is God manifest in flesh. Wonderful, wonderful experience that God has shared with us. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. You know that passage in Titus that reminds us of God was manifest in flesh, that when angelic beings beheld the Son of God being born into the world, God's only begotten Son becoming flesh and blood. I couldn't believe it. What is this? What is happening? God is manifest in flesh. God is now a man walking on the face of the earth. He never ceased to be God. People didn't treat him that way. You know, this is the problem that we're confronted with. Light came into the world in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Light. Enlightenment for mankind. Revealing to mankind God's love, God's grace, God's mercy. This doesn't make sense, but listen. Men love darkness rather than light. Even today, there are those who, you mention the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, that Jew? That Jew? Yes, he was a Jew. A nationality, a Jew, born to a Jewish maiden, a virgin. Yes. But he was God. Manifest in flesh. He never ceased to be God. He never will cease to be God. And I'm going to read a few verses in just a moment that I've had the sad experience here of late to sense that the young fellows were here and they were going about and they were witnessing and telling other people all over this end of town about the Lord Jesus. I've made a statement to some people, and they have said things like this. I'll never bow the knee to that Jew. A man almost as old as I am. He's not as old as I am, but he's almost as old as I am. He ought to have more sense than that, but he made a stupid statement like that. I'll never bow the knee to that Jew. Well, with my Bible open to this passage, I read him some words, and he said, I don't believe that book, the Bible, that book you've got. I had to say, and I didn't say it sarcastically, that's your choice. That's your choice. If you choose not to believe that Jesus Christ is God manifest in flesh, and that he died under the penalty of our sin. He being fashioned, found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. If you choose not to believe that, that's your business. That's your business. But I read this. I like to hear it. I like to hear these words. I read it often. I can quote it. That wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, things in heaven, things on the earth, and things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And I was asked the question, you really believe that? You really believe that? With all my heart, I believe that. I was looked upon in a sense, as if I was being pitied for being so dumb and having no more discernment than to think that God's only begotten Son was born into the world. His name was Jesus. They called his name Jesus. Because and by virtue of what he did in submitting to the will of God the Father, he died upon a cross, the one that knew no sin. 3 hours of darkness there upon the cross outside the city of Jerusalem. God rained down upon His Son His wrath, His judgment against sin. My sin, your sin, the sin of the whole world. Whosoever will may come. Whosoever will may come. The invitation is an open invitation. For by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is that gift from God. It's not of works. Not anything I could ever do. Not anything that anybody could ever do would bring them one iota closer to knowing God or getting to heaven. I did not say what I said to this dear man. He's an old man. He did look very soberly at me when he said, "You really believe that? You really believe that?" "Yes, sir. With all my heart, that's what I believe. I believe that every need, your needs, my needs, although I've already bowed the knee to the person of Christ, I gladly get on my knees in His presence. He is God. He is my Savior. He is my Lord. He is someone that died for me. He took my place. And I gladly bow before Him humbly and say, thank you, Lord, for dying for me, taking my place upon the cross." The book of Hebrews tells us about Jewish sacrifices and how that all of those animal sacrifices that were offered down through the hundreds of years, there's not one of them, nor any of them, or all of them, could ever take away one sin and its penalty. They were like finger signs pointing forward in time. It was like Isaac saying to his father Abraham, "Father, we have everything here for offering a sacrifice, but the sacrifice. Where is the sacrifice?" And Abraham said to his son, "God will provide for Himself a sacrifice." You know that man, that old man, Abraham? He believed that with all of his heart. He believed that when they got to that top of that mountain that he built that altar and he took his son and put him upon that altar of sacrifice, he still believed that God was going to provide for himself a sacrifice. You know the story. And he did. Here's a sacrifice right here. An animal sacrifice. Well, I can say to you, will God provide a sacrifice for this world that we live in today? He's already provided a sacrifice. He did it 2,000 years ago outside the city of Jerusalem in the person of His only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus. Yes, He hung upon that cross. God's judgment and God's wrath fell upon Him. For 3 dark hours, the veil in the temple was rent from the top to the bottom. Graves were opened and people were seen that were dead and buried walking around in the city of Jerusalem. The earth quaked and rumbled. Some things took place that got people's attention. But not one thing that's ever happened before or ever will happen upon the face of this earth should gain precedence over what took place on that cross. The Son of God as sacrifice for sin, the sin of mankind, since from the beginning of time, Jesus Christ paid the penalty to God's satisfaction. God is satisfied with what he did. All I have to do is say, I want that gift. I want to accept that. I want the value of that put to my account. For if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord, that means Jesus is God. Believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's my salvation verse. Oh, I well remember that night. All alone. No preacher was holding my hand. My neighbor had whispered in my ear, believe that and you'll be saved. And I believed it. That was over 60 years ago, and I'm still saved. I was saved then, and I'm saved now, and I'm going to be saved for all eternity. Based upon what Jesus Christ, the Son of God, did upon the cross. The one that knew no sin, he took my sin, took your sin, took the sin of the whole world. God laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Sin of the whole world fell upon the Son of God. The penalty was paid for to God's satisfaction. That's what happened. That's what happened. So God thinks very highly of what his Son has done. Men like this fellow that I spoke to, bless his heart. I hope he changes his mind. You really believe that? Oh, yeah. I believe it. I said, I'll tell you what, whether you believe it or not, them old creaky knees of yours will bow one day. And you will confess with that tongue that's in your mouth, he is Lord. He is the Lord Jesus Christ. You will do it. And I don't say that to aggravate you or to make you think that I'm trying to goad you into doing something that you don't want to do, but I'm just telling you the truth based upon the Word of God. Every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. God wants glory, glory, put to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the displayed splendor of the Son of God. When you get to the book of Revelation and you begin to read about what eyes did see concerning the person of our Lord Jesus Christ, you know, he ascended back into heaven after the resurrection. But he'd made a promise to you and to me that know him. Don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many mansions, dwelling places. Many dwelling places there. Enough for everybody. I'm going away to prepare a place for you. That where I am, there you may be also. Jesus Christ at this very moment is seated in glory, power, and authority at the right hand of God. I'm so glad he's there. That's all I'm dependent upon for the salvation of my soul. He said, that's all? That's all. That's all. It's a gift. I received it as a gift. I believe God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. I have faith in God. I believe in God. I believe in his Son as a Savior of sinners. That's all I have to tell anyone that wants to know. How can you be saved and know it? Receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but that have everlasting life. I'm a possessor of eternal life. May not look like it, but I am. And every one of you that have trusted Christ as your Savior, you are a present possessor of eternal life. Eternal life. Life without end. Not just physical life, you have spiritual life now, and it will endure for all eternity. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That brother of mine that I told you cried so much when my mother died, I cried too, and I missed her so much. Man, she was special. I don't mind saying this. My mama was special. She loved her two boys. She was a kind of a big, robust woman, and she would hug us and hold on to us and tell us that she loved us. I like that. That was my first experience with a woman telling me she loved me. It was special. I have never forgotten it. Ruby has hugged me and said she loved me. Not like Mama, though. The 23rd Psalm, and my mama, knowing that psalm, is the only hope that I have that my mama is saved. My mama never witnessed to me. My mama never told me she was saved, that she had trusted Christ as her Savior. But the 23rd Psalm, she knew 23rd Psalm. She taught it to my brother. A neighbor gave him a nickel if he would memorize this psalm. This is the Depression years now. A nickel was like this. Big. Big money. A young boy is going to get 5 cents for just memorizing these 6 verses of Scripture. And Mama taught it to him. And I share this with you this morning because I'm holding on to that. I'm still hoping and praying that my mama's, I'll be like Fanny Crosby after I've seen the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to see my mama when I get to heaven. But if she's going to be there, she'll be there the only way you can be there. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me, Mama. If you're going to be in heaven, you'll have to come God's way. You'll have to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. The great shepherd of the sheep, the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. David, of course, should have known something about keeping sheep, and he did. He was a shepherd boy. It all starts by asking questions. Who are you? What are you doing here? How does God look upon you? God loves you. Yeah, but you said I was a sinner. Yes, God loves sinners. God loves sinners. You need to know that. David needed to know that. He describes for us how kind and gracious God is, even to sinners. He favors sinners. He wants to save them out of that judgment and wrath that's reserved for all those who do not believe in God and do not trust the Lord Jesus as their Savior. You know, when I read Psalm 23, I'm reading about the testimony of one who found out he needed a Savior. And he found a true shepherd in the Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them. They know me. I know the Lord Jesus is my Savior. He's the great shepherd of the sheep. I know him. He knows me. He knows you if you know him. But I'll ask you the question. Just like I asked this fellow the other day, and just like I was asked one day. Do you know him? The Lord Jesus Christ. This friend that asked me one day, Bob, do you know him, Jesus Christ, as your Lord and Savior? I said, I don't know what you're talking about. He said, are you saved? I said, saved from what? I was being sarcastic. Saved from what? He was quick to respond, and he said, saved from going to hell. And that's where you're going if you do not receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I didn't particularly like that, but we were friends. And he seemed to know what he was talking about. But you know, all that he said to me may have stimulated some thought in my soul, but what happened was the Spirit of God took the word of God that he had given to me. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And the Spirit of God took the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and he just, boom, hit me right in the heart. My whole being was just shattered. I wonder if this is really true. Is this the truth? It just kept coming home, and it got worse and worse, my conviction of my sin and where I was going to spend eternity. And I finally said, I surrender. And so late one night, with a borrowed Bible that belonged to my dear Ruby, I opened this book, the Word of God. Took me a little while to find Romans 10 and 9, but I found it. And I read that verse. And I meant it in my heart and soul because I was an unbeliever. I was an ungodly sinner. I said some bad things about Jesus Christ. That man said, oh, that Jew, I may have said some things worse than that. I don't know. You know, when you're living as a fourth son in the world, you don't know any better. Paul said, you know, God forgave me. I didn't know what I was doing. I was just ignorant of anything and everything. And that may be the case with someone here this morning. You may not have ever heard it before. If thou shalt confess with your tongue, Jesus Christ is God. Jesus Christ is God. That person that hung upon that cross outside the city of Jerusalem, nail-pierced hands, he is God. This is God dying upon the cross for the sins of the whole world. I could see him dying for my sin. For the first time, the Spirit of God set things in motion in this little mind, this little brain of mine. And in my heart, I believed it. And I'm confessing. I said it out loud. I wanted to be sure. Thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus is Lord. Believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead. You will be saved. I told you I've been saved for 60 years. I have never doubted that. Some people have doubts about thing. I sympathize with them. I'm not boasting. I have never doubted that that was true. I believe God. And I believe it'll work for you this morning, whoever you are. And you that already know it, you know it's true. Amen? Amen. Our Father in heaven, we give thanks again in the name of the Lord Jesus for this special day, a Mother's Day. Yes, Lord, we love our mothers. You have taught us to love and respect our fathers and our mothers, reverence them, and honor God, and to honor your beloved Son, the Lord Jesus, the Savior of sinners, the Lamb of God that could take away the sin of the world. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, for taking away the penalty of my sin and the sin of the whole world. We praise thee and thank thee, Lord, in your own holy and precious name. Amen.